The Norman Rockwell Museum remembers the work of storyteller-illustrator Howard Pyle and Howard Pyle American Master Rediscovered through October 28th. Organized by the Delaware Art Museum, which was founded in 1912 to preserve Pyle's work, the show features 79 original paintings and drawings created between 1876 and 1910. The exhibit will be divided into the categories Visions of the Past, concentrating on Pyle's depictions of history, Fairy Tale and Fantasy, focusing on Pyle's fairy tales and children's illustrations, and America Past and Present, about Pyle's enthusiasm for the American colonial revival of the 1880s. The exhibition features an outstanding selection of the artist's best-known and rarely seen paintings, drawings, prints, and archival materials that shed light on the artist's career as a painter and a consummate storyteller in a changing world at the cusp of the 20th century. To tell us more, we welcome Stephanie Plunkett, Chief Curator at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and Dr. Joyce Schiller, Curator of the Rockwell Center for American Visual Studies at the Norman Rockwell Museum. Joyce and Stephanie, it's a delight to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Hello,
so
Joe.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, you both are great, and I'm just thrilled to have you both here. You know, I look at this. I have not seen the exhibit, which I will see this week, but I have looked through the catalog and seen this. And what is fascinating to me, and why I think, and of course you'll address this, but when you look at the division of dividing this into three different parts, seems as though it makes so much sense because of the diversity of his work, of Pyle's work. It is quite remarkable as an artist of what he achieved artistically and how different the look is.
Absolutely. Joe, Rockwell called Pyle a historian with a brush.
Yeah.
Pyle was looking back, and I think what we don't realize is how much an artist like Howard Pyle has influenced our understanding of history and our vision of what history actually looks like. So the divisions, I think, really helped the visitors to get a sense of, as you said, the breadth of his work as an artist who loved everything from American history to medieval times, which featured very highly in his paintings as well.
I think it's an important set of divisions because the range of work he did was so very large, not only in different styles of production of art, but one of the things we really don't recognize for him mostly is that he was a very popular writer of some of the stories he illustrated. So we have all of those things in the show.
One of the things, and just to best illustrate this, is you look at this, you have included in here, The Sailor Is Saved, which is in silhouette of four characters and kind of a
painted silhouette.
It's not a cut silhouette. Painted. And but beautiful and amusing.
Yes.
And then you compare that to something like The Charge, which is so with the horses and the soldiers and the swords and the rifles, and is so intense.
And theatrical.
And you think, my God, that came from the same mind and the same
Indeed.
And the same brush.
He wrote nonsense poetry. He wrote the first American publication of Robin Hood.
Yeah.
He wrote his own versions of King Arthur and the Arthurian stories. He wrote pirate stories. He did all sorts of things. He was an amazing man.
Give us of an idea, and I love when you do this, Stephanie, whenever you're here, because it this is what I always look forward to, because of how this fits into the Rockwell Museum, you know, of why you say, okay, this fits in. And of course, it's easy to say, okay, well, illustrator and kind of artist for hire, right? But it goes a lot deeper than that.
It does in this case, because there really is a direct connection between Norman Rockwell and Howard Pyle. Pyle was really the first, I would say really the first extremely famous American illustrator. And he was the one that artists like Norman Rockwell and his contemporaries looked to, because what Pyle made Rockwell realize was that it would be possible to make your living by creating pictures for publication, but that those pictures could be aesthetically beautiful, that they could be important, and that they could be memorable. And also, of course, that you could make a good living by being an artist working for the magazines of the day.
Mm.
So when Rockwell was in art school at the Art Students League in New York City, there was a lot of discussion about Pyle, because Pyle, too, had attended the Art Students League. And it was legend that there were still models at the Art Students League who had posed for Pyle. So the students wanted to know how Pyle worked. What brushes did he use? What paints did he use to get, you know, these amazing results that he did? And the day that Pyle died in 1911, Rockwell's teacher, George Bridgman, came into the classroom literally in tears and sharing reminiscences of Pyle's time at the League. So Pyle was very present for Norman Rockwell. And in fact, he did a wonderful tribute in 1959 call about the American family that includes the start of that American family as a pirate and his Spanish princess with a great galleon sailing across the sea in honor of Howard Pyle.
One of the things that I found fascinating in the catalog was that because of his productivity, I mean, because he was doing so much at a time under a deadline,
absolutely,
he would use models, he would use photographs, and he would use memory. These were all things that he had to use because he couldn't do it always the way he wanted to do it.
One of the things about Pyle that's so important is that he was the first teacher of illustration. He codified how you taught it and communicated that to some of the great next generation of illustrators, including N.C. Wyeth and Maxfield Parrish. When he was a teacher, when he thought about it, he thought about how do you teach somebody to do a work fast, to turn it around fast. And so he'd give his students an evening. He'd hand a concept out, and everyone had to create an image by the end of the evening out of that idea.
Mm.
And that's how you taught students to work really fast for publication.
It wasn't, and I guess I hadn't thought about it too much, but I, being a fan of N.C. Wyeth, I had always thought that Wyeth had influenced Pyle and not that Pyle had influenced Wyeth, which I think is interesting. Is that a common misconception?
I think
yes.
It is, actually,
yeah.
Because Wyeth is really the more famous
of
the
two
right
yeah.
now.
And their work is so, there's some eerie similarities.
Overlap, yes.
That's
yeah.
true.
When Pyle died, his wife auctioned off the contents of his studio, including his costume collection. And N.C. Wyeth bought a remarkable number of things and used them in his own images.
Mm.
And Andrew Wyeth inherited them and used them in his paintings.
Mm.
So some of Pyle's touch seems to carry on through generations.
The catalog is dedicated to Andrew Wyeth, we
yes.
should know.
Right.
So that is interesting about, what do you think it is about Pyle that didn't bring him to that level of fame? Is it partly the Wyeth name in the generational sense, do you think?
I think that's probably true. You know, certainly the Wyeths being three generations
right.
of extraordinary painters would have influenced that. But I think Pyle, who had so much influence on so many artists, is the one who's least remembered right now.
But in his day, he was heavily regarded as the very best illustrator. He was in the New York Times numbers of times every year. His paintings went up to New York and were shown in New York and bought in New York, illustrations. He was it. He was brought all over the country to New York and to Chicago to talk about illustration to students. So in his day, he was the epitome. He was the top.
And yet the show is subtitled American Master Rediscovered, mm-hmm. which I assume takes on two meanings. One, that perhaps he's been overlooked in some ways by art history, but also this exhibit in and of itself really takes a look at all of this wonderful material that,
absolutely.
That you have.
When you come into the galleries, it's a little bit like seeing Norman Rockwell for the first time. The paintings are, many of them, large.
Mm.
They are filled with action and adventure. You know, he was one of the first to really portray people running, people, you know, sort of in mid-movement, and he really believed that, you know, artists should project themselves into the picture and sort of break that fourth wall. So, you know, the paintings are exciting. They are absolutely beautiful, and mm-hmm. the surface is full of painterly wonder, and I think people will be very surprised to see what an extraordinary artist he is.
In looking at this started at the Delaware.
Yes, it did. Delaware.
And they basically were founded with this collection. Is that true?
Well, when Howard Pyle died in 1911 in Florence, he left a wife and five children. And the community wanted to help his wife. And so they went and bought from the studio a couple of hundred paintings. And then they turned around and founded what they called the Wilmington Fine Arts Society, right. which is the Delaware Art Museum today. There were more donations and purchases by the community, his students and his collectors, in 1915, 1918, 1920, and 1925, until there are literally thousands of Howard Pyle's works at the museum.
And the exhibit originated there and then
yes.
moved on here.
Mm-hmm.
And will be on display through October 28th. There's also that geographical, we were talking about the Wyeths, but there's also mm-hmm. that geographic.
Well, Howard came from Wilmington. Mm-hmm. He was born and raised there, a Quaker boy. And his mother enticed him to both write and to paint, to draw. And he stayed in Wilmington even after going up to New York. He came back to Wilmington. He taught at Drexel in Philadelphia and then in 1900 opened his own school in Wilmington called the Howard Pyle School of Art, not the Brandywine School, mm-hmm. although that's how we know it today. And he spent his school year in Wilmington and took his students, the best of his students, to his family farm in Chads Ford, Pennsylvania, for the summers. And that's how N.C. Wyeth got to Chads Ford.
Mm.
His school was really for what he considered serious students of illustration. So Wyeth, Jesse Wilcox Smith, Elizabeth Shippen Green, many famous names of that era were part of Pyle School.
You, in the catalog, there is from Rockwell the master's arm performed until it was tired and the stock of switches notably diminished. And that is included why?
Why? Because in Stephanie's chapter on Howard Pyle's influence on Norman Rockwell, she wanted to show the linkage between the two, how Norman Rockwell picked up the kinds of techniques that Howard Pyle was teaching.
And in this one, it is a schoolmaster with the action with, oh, yeah. the,
right.
with the boy under his shoulder.
Right.
Absolutely.
Which is an interesting mix of the two, because you could think of that of being as in the horrors of war or mm-hmm. in a schoolroom where a boy is a little naughty.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing I think about Rockwell, Pyle too, though, artists are always learning from each other. They're
yes.
picking up compositional themes and structures, and Rockwell was a great recycler.
you have a great quote from him on that
yes,
subject.
Yes, indeed. So there are a lot of those kinds of connections.
Joyce, I got you off. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Also because the image that he used of the schoolmaster is early American life. And Howard Pyle believed that there was nothing more compelling than retelling the stories of American life. And if he could have, he would have gone back to colonial and federal times and lived then. He said that over and over again.
Of course, we're out of time, but one of the things that, you know, with the Norman Rockwell Museum, you always try to have the big summer show, and this seems to be, you know, one of the biggest. This is awesome, isn't it?
Thank you. It's,
yeah.
it's a beautiful show. We hope lots of people will come and enjoy it. Great pirate paintings, scenes of adventure, medieval times, lots of swashbucklers, that's right.
Excellent. Well, Howard Pyle, American Master Rediscovered, runs through Sunday, October 28th at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Stephanie Plunkett is chief curator at the Norman Rockwell Museum. Dr. Joyce Schiller is curator of the Rockwell Center for American Visual Studies at Norman Rockwell Museum. The catalog is beautiful. I can't wait to see the exhibit. I thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's a delight to have
you
both.
Museum. Museum.
Again, go to www.nrm.org for more information, www.nrm.org for more information. Howard Pyle, American Master Rediscovered, running through October 28th. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.